take your Bible, go to the book of Psalms, please. Go to the Psalms, and I want to read just a few verses out of the 55th Psalm, Psalm 55. Good to be here this morning, and I love any time I get to be at my home church, and no evangelist likes cancellations, all right, but I am glad to be here, and I'm thankful the Lord worked it out. Glad everybody's safe. Glad we got some power in more ways than one. Amen. Got some power around here. Thank God for that, and we'll pray that the Lord continues to keep us safe during these days. All right, Psalm 55. Look with me, if you will. We'll read just a few verses, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." Just for a few moments this morning, I want to preach on this thought. I want to preach on the God who keeps us grounded. The God who keeps us grounded. Father, we're thankful for the privilege we have to be here in this place today. I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word. Bless this service, Lord, the men of God that'll stand up, Lord, here in a moment to preach. I pray that you touch them. And Lord, I pray that you take this unique service and use it in a unique way. God, you're able to take these messages and give it exactly out like it needs to be meted out. And God, I pray that you get the glory for all that's done. Touch me for a few moments, Lord. Use me for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I want to just look at these verses just for a moment, just a brief thought. I actually just jotted down these things in my Bible yesterday and still kind of working on these, but I'm thinking about David here as is the author of this psalm, and there's a lot of different things that could be going on in David's life, things that we know about, things that we don't know about that caused him to write the contents of this psalm. Of course, he's under inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. We understand that. But I'm thinking that as you begin to dig into this psalm and some verses that follow the text that we read, I think that what we're looking at here is the time in David's life when his son Absalom had risen up against him and began to bring about a mutiny in the kingdom. And as his throne was usurped and as he was pushed out of his kingdom, these are the musings of his heart and the thoughts of his heart. We look at the first few verses here, and I think we see something about David's frustration. I think he's frustrated in the sense that he kind of gets a feeling that maybe God is a little distant. I don't think he's mad at God. I don't think he's bitter at God, but I think he's just a little frustrated. Have you ever been just a little frustrated with the circumstance of life? God, why aren't you doing something now? Why don't you hear me? He's pleading with God not to hide himself from him. Don't hide yourself from my supplication. Give ear unto my prayer. I'm pouring out my complaint to you. And I think that's where David's at. I think he's got just a little bit of frustration that is in his life. And if it's during those times of Absalom's rebellion, then rightly so. I think we could understand that. But then we see David's fear in the next few verses 3 and 4 and 5. He says it's the voice of his enemy and the oppression of the wicked, and he said they hate me. It feels like everybody's against him and the whole world is against him. He says my heart, verse 4, is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. And then he says it very explicitly there in verse 5. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. Obviously there is fear in David's heart. Is he going to live? Is he going to die? Will he ever see his kingdom again? Will he ever be able to have rest in his heart and in his home and in the nation of Israel? And all these fears are are grabbing a hold of him and gripping his heart. We see David's frustration. We see David's fear. But here's what I want to look at just for a moment. I want you to see David's fantasy. Do you see that in verse number 6? He said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." David's fantasy here. He said, "You know what? I wish I had." He said, "I wish I had some wings like a dove. I wish I could just fly away from all of the fear, fly away from all of the trouble, fly away from all of the responsibility." He had a lot of people that he was responsible for and a lot of things that he was responsible for. A lot of people were depending on him and were counting on him. And I think all the pressure and all the stress and all of the situation was just kind of barreling upon him and weighing upon him. And he just felt like, you know what? If I just had a nice set of wings, I could just take flight and I could fly far, far, far away. But he had a little problem. The problem was he didn't have any wings. The problem was God on purpose did not make David with any wings. He didn't make you with any wings, and he didn't make me with any wings. He's the God that many times keeps us grounded. He keeps our feet on the ground. And really, in the midst of trials and storms, I'm not all the time thankful for that. I'm not all the time very glad about that, because there's been times in my life where I wish I could just get away from it all. Have you ever been there? The stress of life, the fears of life, the pressures of life, whatever, the circumstance of life, whatever it is. You think, man, if I could just get away from all of this, man, I could just go to some island somewhere. Come on now. Have you ever thought about, man, I wish I could just win the lottery, you know? Of course, I don't play the lottery, not that much anyway, but not enough to win. But man, if I just had a bunch of money, it would take care of it. If I just had this door open up, if I just had the talents of somebody else, if I just had, you know what wings are? I think wings in this text really represents the ability to escape whatever circumstances and trials that you are in. But I'm going to tell you something. Many times we find ourselves right smack dab in the middle of all these things, and we look around and we do not see a way out. We do not see a door open when we want it to open. You ever just felt trapped? You ever just felt like you couldn't go anywhere? You couldn't do anything? You couldn't get away from it all, although you wish that you could? And I think David is in that place, and he finds out that God has kept him on the ground for certain reasons. And I want to point those out just for a moment. I'm thinking about four things just very quickly. Some reasons why God keeps us grounded when we wish we just had the ability and the opportunity to get away from all of it. Number one, I believe God keeps us grounded because of the decisions that we would make. You see, if we had wings, what would we do? Well, he tells us what he would do if he had wings. Verse 6, he said, "For then would I fly away." I'm going to tell you why God doesn't give you all the money you wish you had, and why God doesn't give you all the talent you wish you had, and why God doesn't give you all the opportunities you wish you had, and why God doesn't give you all the doors of escape you wish you had. It's because he knows what you would do with them. You would fly away. You would run away. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not God's will for our life, is to escape and run away from every little thing. God knows what we would do. God knows where we would go. God knows how we would live if we had the ability to get away from everything that we're trying to always get away from. I'm going to tell you what God does by keeping us grounded. I'm going to tell you what God does by keeping us wingless. Why God keeps us on the ground and trapped in and hemmed in. I'll tell you what God's doing a lot of times. He's keeping us from ourselves. God is protecting us from our very own choices and our very own decisions. You see, God not only knows what we do, but God knows what we would do if we were in a different set of circumstances. God knows our future, not just what it's going to be, but God knows what it would be if other factors were in place. And I want to thank God, I don't know if this is a word, but I'm going to use it. I want to thank God for winglessness. Amen. I want to thank God that he hasn't given me the ability to get out of every little situation. I want to thank God. I just want to go on record this morning. Thank God that he hadn't given me the opportunity to get out of every little thing. You know why? Because there's things I needed to learn and things I needed to do and things I didn't need to get involved in, and God kept me trapped and kept me hemmed in. I thank God for it. I remember when I was in Bible college, just got out of high school, and I was 18 years old, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but the Bible college I was going to, it was there just wasn't a lot of people there. I went to there at Resac, and I love it, and I thank God for it. But at that time, there just wasn't a lot of people there, and just wasn't a lot of things going on necessarily there at that time. And I had a friend of mine that went to another Bible college, and man, they were shouting it out every night, and it was packed out full of preacher boys, and it was, I mean, just he called me all the time, said, "Man, you got to get over here. You need to come see this. This is where you need to be." And I just thought, man, and so I did. I went over there one weekend. I spent the night in the dorms, and I spent the weekend there. And man, the president of the college, a big old church, the president of the Bible college, took me around in his car, and he drove me around town and all kind of things. And he took me in the new building they were about to build. It's a huge thing. And he said, "We let all the preacher boys sit up on the platform, you know, and man, we'll use you to play the piano and use you to do this and do all those things." And man, I really wanted to go. I thought, man, this is the place to be. This is where I need to be. And I went home and I talked to my dad, and my dad's like, "Nah." He said, "I really don't have a good feeling about that." He said, "I really don't think that's where you need to be." And circumstances worked out where I just couldn't go, and I couldn't make it happen, although I really want to. And I'm going to tell you what, I was very discouraged. I was very a little upset. I was a little frustrated that I couldn't get out of the situation that I was in and go to another one that looked a little better. But I'm going to tell you something. Looking back, oh my soul, I wish I could give you some details to make it a little more sense, but I'm going to tell you something. It was the best thing that God kept me hemmed in. God kept me closed in. He kept me in a little tight space, in a little small space where it didn't seem like there was much going on. But I'm going to tell you what He was doing. He was protecting me from myself. He knew what I would do, and He knew what I would be and what I would get involved in and connected with if I'd have went to that other place. And I look back and I see they were real loose on some things and real liberal on some things, and they let you do a lot of different things, and I just know that I wouldn't have been able to handle a lot of those things. I believe with all my heart, I wouldn't even have a ministry if I'd have went to that place. You say, "What are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say God sometimes clips our wings and He keeps us on the ground right where we're at because He knows the decisions that we would make otherwise. We ought to thank God for that. Not only God keeps us grounded because He knows the decisions we would make, but secondly, I want to say that God keeps us grounded because He knows the disappointments we would face. Because look at what He says at the end of verse number 6. He said, "For then would I fly away." Now notice that last phrase. He says, "and be at rest." You know what David said? David said, "Man, if I could just get away from this, I would be at rest. If I could just get out of this situation, if I could just get somewhere else," he said, "then I would find some rest." But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You know what? You can go anywhere you want to go, and you can do anything else you want to do, but there's only one place that you will find rest in your life, and that is living smack dab in the perfect center of the will of God. That's the only place you'll ever find rest for your soul. Rest is not found in the absence of trouble. Rest is found in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about being away from where the troubles are. It's about staying where God is. That's where rest is. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden." He said, "and I'll give you rest." He said, "You'll find rest for your souls." Rest is only found in one place, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. One of the worst things in your life could possibly be to have the abilities and all the opportunities to do anything you want to do and go anywhere you want to go. And I'm going to tell you why. Because people that usually have all those things, they end up absolutely miserable because they go here and they don't find any rest there, and then they fly over here and they don't find any rest here, and then they fly over here and they don't find any rest, and they finally come to the grim conclusion that I guess there's no peace in this world, there's no happiness to be had, there's no satisfaction. I want you to think about the man by the name of Solomon who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He tried to find rest in wine, he couldn't find it. He tried to find rest in wealth. He couldn't find it. He tried to find rest in women. He couldn't find it. He said, I hated life. That's in chapter 2. He ended up saying, I hate it. The wealthiest man, the wisest man. I'm talking about the workingest man. I'm talking about he had everything that you could ever want, and he was absolutely miserable with life. The only thing worse than having than not having your dreams come true is having them all come true and still being miserable. There's a lot of people in this world, they'll climb the ladder of success and they'll chase after money and pleasure and fame and fortune, and they'll step on whoever and grab another rung of the ladder, and they'll get all the way to the top only to look around and find out there's nothing there. What a miserable life that is. If all those things made you happy, then I'm going to tell you something, Hollywood would be the happiest place in the world. But they got to take a handful of pills to go to bed at night. They got to take a handful of pills to get up in the morning. They can't stay married. They can't stay happy. I'm going to tell you why. Because rest is not found in a certain other location. Rest is not found in getting away from your troubles. Rest is found in Jesus Christ alone, and being close to Him and living for Him and longing for Him. I'm going to tell you something. And being in love with Him, that's where rest is found. And David just knew, if I could get away from these things, then my soul would be at rest. But you know what? God said, no, I'm going to leave your feet on the ground right here, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to save you and shield your heart from disappointment. And I'm thankful that God does that for us as well. God kept David grounded not only because of the decisions that he would make and the disappointments that he would face, but I believe God kept David and keeps us grounded because of the distance that we would keep. Look what it says in verse number 7. He said, lo, then I would wander far off. And notice this word. He said, and what? Remain. He said, man, if I could get away, he said, I'd never come back to this place. He said, I'd just stay out there. He said, I'm done with this. He said, Absalom can have it, and I'll just never come back. I'll get away, and I'll never return. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times God keeps us grounded, and God keeps our feet on the ground, and He limits our opportunities and our abilities and our resources. I'm going to tell you why. Because He knows how far away we would get out of His will, and there's been many that have went away and got away from the pressures and said, you know what? I'm tired of the standards, and I'm tired of the rules, and I'm tired of this, and I'm tired of that, and they get away, and guess what? They never ever come back. They stay out there. And I want to thank God tonight for keeping me close, because I may get out and never get back in if I got out. The distance that we would keep. And then lastly, not only the decisions we would make and the disappointments we would face and the distance we would keep, but I believe God keeps us grounded lastly because of the discipline that we would miss. Now, I don't have time to go into a lot of it. Let me just give you a summary verse here, because this kind of summarizes kind of David's conclusion here in this psalm. But look at verse 55. If you don't have this verse underlined in your Bible, I'd encourage you to do it. Psalm 55, verse 22. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know what David learned and what David realized and found out as a result of his winglessness? He found out that, you know what, you don't have to escape your trouble. You don't have to run away. You don't have to fly away from all of it. He said, you can stay right in the middle of the storm. You can stick around right in the middle of the trial and just take that burden and cast it on the Lord. Just take that burden and cast it on God. And David said, I'll tell you what I found out. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't run away from it. I couldn't fly away from it. He said, but I'll tell you what I found out. I found out if you'll just take them burdens and cast it on God, He will give you the strength. He will give you the grace. He will give you the help. He will give you the stamina that you need to make it through whatever you're going through. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason. You'll never learn that. You'll never know that for sure until your feet are square on the ground and you can't go anywhere and you can't run anywhere and you can't hide anywhere and you can't fly anywhere. And there's only one thing left to do, and that's say, God, I can't believe it, and I can't escape it, so I guess I'm just going to have to give it to you. And I tell you what you find out in those times. You'll find out that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You'll find out that his shoulders are more than able. He is more than able to carry whatever is burdening you. In fact, he'll pick you up on his shoulders, and he'll carry you. He said he'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a promise. What a God. What a hope that we have in our Heavenly Father. No, I don't have any wings, but I got a promise. Amen. I don't have any wings, but I got a rock I can run to. I don't have any wings, but I got a Heavenly Father that can pick me up and carry me. So I have times when I just want to run away and I want to fly away. But I guess today would be a good day just to say, Lord, I want to thank you that you didn't give me any wings. Amen. Because there's a discipline that we need, and that discipline is learning to stay and trust God.
Right.
Stay and pray. Stay and give our burdens to God. And you'll never learn that flying from one place to another place to another place. Thank God for the God who keeps us grounded.